right now. You don't have to, but you do have to trust me. We have to trust each other and tell each other everything.
Then I'm going to tell you I don't want you to go to prom with River.
I started to speak, but Miller took my hand in his again.
But you already promised him, and I know it means something to keep your word. I trust you, Vi.
Tears welled up in my eyes. That means everything, Miller. Like we have a shot.
We do, he said, because I don't want to ever lose you.
Miller leaned in, and my hands made a fist in the lapels of his plaid shirt. My heart was pounding. He touched his mouth to mine softly. My lips parted in a breathy little gasp, and he kissed my upper and lower lip. Then he moved in deeper, and I moaned softly. My eyes fell shut as that tingling, breath-stealing euphoria filled me and moved down into my stomach to send it fluttering. Miller moved to sit on the edge of the bed, one hand cupping my cheek as his mouth moved over mine reverently, exploring softly, touching gently. We sealed promises, spoken and unspoken, to take care of each other's hearts. The kiss ended naturally, and Miller pulled back, his eyes roaming every part of my face. He brushed his fingertips over the bandage on my right temple.
Are you really okay?
I nodded. They're going to kick me out any minute now.
Good. I don't ever want to see you in here again.
Feelings mutual, I said, stroking his cheek. But since they're taking their sweet time about it, will you play for me?
Anything.
All I'll ever want. Shiloh said you wrote it for me.
They're all for you, Vi. Even the ones I didn't write. Those are for you too.
Miller kissed me gently, then pressed his forehead to mine.
I came along,
he sang softly, almost a whisper.
I wrote a song for you.
A little sob escaped me, and I threw my arms around his neck, pulling him into me, inhaling the clean ocean scent of him, straight into my cells, into every molecule in my body. I held on tight, because now I had him, and I never wanted to let go.
Chapter 18. Miller. May. Where are we going? I asked, chuckling, as Violet dragged me across the campus. The sun was brilliant and bright, not a cloud in sight. I've always wanted to do this, she said, a high school experience not to be missed. Hand in hand, she led me down from the main campus toward the football field. The makeout spot under the bleachers? I asked. Isn't that cheesy as hell? She arched a brow at me. Well, we don't have to go. Her words were cut off with a squeal as I hauled her into the shadowy corner of the bleachers where it met the gym wall, mercifully unoccupied. I caged her against the wall, my eyes roaming her face, taking my time. You're such a tease, she breathed. Her hands went to my hips and drew me into her. I gave a short laugh at her boldness. I hadn't expected it from Violet. But over the last few weeks, I'd been getting to know her in a way that our past hesitations and fears hadn't let me before. All the kissing and making out was pretty fucking great, too. What are you smiling about? She asked, tilting her chin up and arching into me so that her breasts brushed against my chest. You, I said, moving in, pressing against her. But even before I kissed her, my erection was hard and obvious through my jeans. I started to back off. She pulled me back in. Don't. Just kiss me. Our mouths crashed together, and I groaned into our kiss as Violet parted her legs to bring me closer. God damn, she felt so good, smelled so good, tasted so good. I couldn't get enough of her. Her luscious body I'd been agonizing over from afar was now against me, under my hands, offered willingly by the girl I loved so fucking much I could hardly breathe. I kissed her hard, a tangling of tongues and rasping breaths, while cupping one breast over her t-shirt, my thumb running circles over the nipple. She moaned and slipped her hands into my hair, down my back, and then under my shirt. Her fingers traced my abs, deftly maneuvering around my CGM implant. "God, Miller," she whispered between kisses, "you're so beautiful." "That's my line." "You are," she said, her small, warm palm pressed to my abdomen, fingertips trailing over my skin. "I want to explore you." She kissed me then, slow and deep, while her hand started to slip into my jeans. "Can I?" I nodded, once, quickly. Over the past few weeks, I'd been trying to keep things moving slowly, clothes on, so that we didn't get carried away. Having unlimited access to her bedroom almost every night didn't help. "Ah, fuck," I grunted when she wrapped her fingers around me. "You're big," she said curiously, almost matter of fact. "So big." "God, Vi," I said, breathing hard. "We have to stop before—" "You take my virginity right here?" A shocked laugh burst out of me. "Jesus, woman." She laughed too and released me, then straightened my t-shirt. "Sorry, part of me feels like I need to catch up. I've never done any of the things we do. But it's really just you, Miller. I'm not the least bit nervous. Not with you." She glanced up at me through lowered lashes. "Just the opposite. I can't wait for my first time." "Our first time." She stared. "What? You and Amber never?" "Never." I didn't want to disrespect Amber, so I kept it to myself that while she was pretty and smart, my mind, heart, and dick weren't interested. How did you put it? Like two slabs of plywood smacking together. Violet didn't smile, but her dark blue eyes, the color of night just after the sun sets, took me in, looking at me in a new light. "You never told me." "I figured you didn't want to hear anything about Amber and me." "Maybe not, but I'm surprised and touched." I shrugged. "I was waiting for you." Violet threw her arms around me and kissed me deep, all tongue and heated wetness that made me dizzy. "How about no more waiting?" she whispered. I gave a nervous laugh and disentangled myself from her. "You have to stop saying things like that in public, or I'm going to get suspended." I slung my arm over her shoulder and pulled her close as we walked out from under the bleachers. "I'm 18, but you have a few weeks to go. The state of California strongly suggests we wait." "You looked it up?" Violet teased. "Hell yes, I did. Your dad would have my nuts." Her face fell. "I doubt he'd notice if we did it on the dining room table while they ate." "Interesting visual." I gave her a squeeze. "Any new developments?" She shook her head against my chest. We'd come to her last class of the day, history. "They still haven't told me everything, but I've sent in all my scholarship and financial aid applications. The only thing left to do is wait and see how much I'll be on the hook for." Her brilliant, optimistic smile returned, the one that I loved so much, mostly because it was the yin to my yang of eternal pessimism. "I'll make the best of it, so long as I get to stay here." Violet kissed me softly. "Santa Cruz is, after all, only a short flight from Los Angeles, where you'll soon be making records." That pessimism put a smirk on my face. "Doubtful." I didn't add that I loathed the idea of being apart from her for any length of time. Not to come off like a possessive asshole, but being with Vi made me feel whole, like how I'd felt when she'd brought my guitar back from the pawn shop. A piece of me had been returned, and I never wanted to go without again. "I have no doubts," she said. "Have you heard you?" Her unfailing belief in me warmed my damn heart, and I hoped she was right. If I hit it big, I could pay for her college, and her parents could take their dysfunctional bullshit and shove it. The bell rang. "I gotta go," Violet said. "Come over tonight?" "I'll be there." "Hey, Ronan's in this class, right?" "In theory, he hasn't shown up the last few days." She frowned as students filed around us. "Is everything okay?" "I don't know. I'm worried about him. Holden, too. They're both acting weird and not hanging out much at the shack." Violet looked around. "Shiloh's not here today either. I'll shoot her a text and see what's what. I'm late, and so are you." She kissed my nose and hurried inside the classroom. Technically, I was late to PE, and technically, I didn't give a shit. I meandered in the general direction of the gym, hoping VP Chowder and his sixth sense for sniffing out tardy students wouldn't catch me. My phone buzzed with a text. I fished it out of the back pocket of my jeans. Evelyn. "How much do you love me?" Not touching that one. Before I could reply, she sent another, and the phone nearly tumbled out of my hands. "The correct answer should be a lot, because it happened. A rep from Goldline Records emailed me." My fingers trembled as I typed, "Don't fuck with me, E. Swear to God." A string of hearts, then excited and wide-eyed emojis followed. My pulse thrashed in my ears. "Where are you?" I typed. "Beach. Too nice for school. But since you went viral, I check email religiously, and holy shit, baby." Wasn't touching baby either. I was too busy about to have a heart attack. I sank down on a bench outside the gym and hit call, then held the phone from my ear as Evelyn squealed. "Slow down," I said. "You're freaking me out. Start from the beginning and tell me everything." "It was, take what you want from me, the Post Malone cover you did. It put you over the edge. 3 million views. Million." "Holy shit is right," I breathed. "I knew it. I knew this would happen," she crowed. "The email came this morning from an executive assistant to some guy named Jack Villegas. I'm not a complete moron, so I Googled him to make sure we weren't being catfished. Sure enough, major player at Goldline. But I had to be 100%, so I called the phone number and the assistant answered the phone. When I said I was calling for Jack Villegas, she didn't say who or wrong number. She said, 'He's in a meeting. What is this regarding?' I mean, fuck." I ran a hand through my hair. "Is this real? This can't be real." What happened then?" "I hung up."
"You did what?"
The blood drained from my face. "I know, I panicked, which is so unlike me, but it felt so surreal, like I was making a crank call. But it's okay. I knew without a doubt that Villegas was legit, so I wrote an email back as your assistant. I mean, he's seen the blog, he knows I basically rep you. An hour later, he replied, he wants a meeting with you in Los Angeles on June 4th. More squealing, and this time I did drop the phone. It clattered to the ground, and I sat with my hands in my lap, every muscle in my body going slack. Evelyn's voice was tinny, shouting for me. "Miller? Miller, hello?" I picked up the phone again.
I don't know what to say."
"A meeting in Los Angeles with a major record label.
This couldn't be real. The universe was fucking with me, and I was going to fall for it. I can't fly to LA, I said. I can't afford a flight or even a ride from the airport. And where would I stay? I don't know anyone there. Honey, relax, Evelyn said in a quieter tone than I'd ever heard her use. I know this is a lot, believe me, but it's real. They are paying for the flight. They are going to send a car from the airport. They are going to set you up in a hotel. I clenched my jaw to keep from either laughing or bursting into tears. It's real, I croaked. It's real, Evelyn said, then brightened. Now, you need to come over for a strategy session, and do you have a suit, something nice to wear to the meeting? Never mind, I'll put something together. She prattled on, and I just stared ahead at the road that had opened to me, a possible future away from the grind and anxiety of endless poverty. Evelyn, I said, cutting through her talk. Thank you. Thank me later, babe. Oh my God, this is so exciting. Not that I'm surprised. I gotta go. Call me as soon as you're done with school or work or whatever. Shit, Miller, put in your notice at that fucking arcade. This is it. I hung up with her and stared at the phone in my hand. I wasn't about to quit my job. It was only a meeting in LA. That didn't mean anything. It was probably an audition. Maybe I'd suck in front of this Jack Villegas guy, or he'd see right through me. That I was just another poor bastard with a sob story trying to make it. Jesus, stop, I told the runaway train of shit talk as I pocketed my phone. Can I have a little hope for one fucking minute? Talking to yourself again, Stratton? I looked up to see Frankie Dowd standing a few feet away. What do you want, Dowd? Who, me? I got nothing to say to Evelyn's bitch. I snorted a laugh. If only he knew. I started to push past him, but he stepped in front of me. Where are you going? None of your fucking business. I balled my hands into fists. You going to move, or do I have to move you? How? You gonna sick your rabid dog on me? He grinned like a loon. Oh, that's right. Wentz isn't around, is he? Something in his knowing tone dripped down my spine like ice. I gripped Frankie by the collar and yanked him to me. What do you know about it? He tore out of my grip and walked backward, hands outstretched. I wanted to punch the shit-eating grin off his face. Don't know a thing. See you around, bitch. When he was gone, I pulled out my phone again and shot a text to Ronan as I walked out of the school. Fuck going to gym. Where you at? I'd walked halfway home when the reply came.
City Hall, picking up my citizenship award.
I gave a short laugh. Ronan was so much fucking smarter than anyone knew. Street smart and a smartass, but I recognized his deflections.
For real, you okay?
It was risky, prodding him even that much. He might go radio silent on me as a signal to mind my own business.
Stay out of my shit, Stratton.
Case in point. But Ronan was being Ronan. I sighed with relief that he was okay, but I needed more assurances. And Evelyn's news was like an electric current, zipping around my nerves and bawling in my stomach. I needed to talk it out before I puked. I wanted to sit around a fire at the shack with my friends. Ronan would give me no end of shit, while Holden would want to throw a party, and both reactions would mean everything to me. And Violet? Violet would cry and tell me she'd known it all along. Because she'd believed in me since the beginning. I blinked hard until the phone came back into focus. Shack tonight? I texted. I walked another block before the reply came.
Busy. Can you tell Lord P to put the fucking weights back when he's done?
Another deflection. Ronan would never ask for a favor. Ever. Even one disguised as a gripe. I tried another tack.
Haven't heard from H. You?
But I already knew Ronan was done talking.
Fuck.
My concern for him ratcheted back up. I texted Holden, but there was no answer with him either. There wasn't anything to do. My friends would talk when they wanted to talk. I had to respect that. I demanded the same from them. Since my friends were AWOL and Violet was still in class, the first person to hear my news would be Mom. As I stared up at the roach-infested building with the shitty plumbing, that felt exactly right. I stepped into our place cautiously, the knot in my stomach tightening into fear. Coming home shouldn't feel like this. Because it wasn't home. It was shelter only, and not even our own anymore. At least when we'd lived in the car, it was ours. Mom was sitting on the couch watching a game show. The coffee table was littered with garbage, beer cans, and overflowing ashtrays. Mom looked gray, as if the ash in the apartment had settled over her as well. Not ash, dust. "Hey, Mom," I said, moving to sit beside her. She was only 42 years old, but the last 5 years had aged her a lifetime. Her dark hair, streaked with strands of gray, hung limply around her shoulders and lines gathered at the corners of her eyes. All of it Dad's fault. Fuck him and Chet both. Mom smiled tiredly.
"Hi, baby. How was school? You're home early, aren't you?"
I glanced around. The place was quiet but for the TV, and our lone bathroom door was open, showing it was empty.
"Where's Chet?"
"Went fishing in Capitola with some buddies. Won't be back until tomorrow."
"Good."
I sat down on the couch and surprised her by taking her hand in mine.
"I'm going to get us out of here, Mom."
She gave me an indulgent look.
"Is that so?"
"I'm serious. Something happened today. Something big, and I..."
My words cut off as I spied a bruise on Mom's forearm. Several bruises in the shape of fingers. A man's fingers.
"Mom, what the fuck is this?"
She withdrew her hand and pulled down the sleeve of her shirt, even though it was at least 85 degrees in our AC-less shithole.
"It's nothing. Tell me about this something big."
"Chet did that, didn't he?"
"Let it be, Miller. It's not a big deal."
"When?"
I seethed.
"When did he do this?"
"The other night. I don't remember. I told you it's nothing."
"Has it happened before?"
"No,"
she said, and her stern tone told me it was the truth.
"It was one time."
One time was too many. I ground my teeth. He'd hurt her. He'd hurt her. And I hadn't been there to protect her. I'd been at the shack or at Violet's. I let this happen.
"I'm sorry, Mom. I'm going to fix it. I promise."
"You're a good boy, but there's nothing to fix."
"There is. We can dump his ass on the street. I'll toss his shit right now."
Mom grabbed my arm with surprising strength and sat me back down.
"No, Miller.
You leave it alone. We need his disability.
I can't keep on like I have been. My back is getting worse, and I can't go back to working two jobs. I just can't."
"You won't have to."
I swallowed hard and inhaled a breath.
"A record executive in Los Angeles wants to meet with me. I'm going to make him give me a deal on the spot and in advance.
You won't have to worry, okay? You won't need Chet anymore.
Tears stung my eyes, and I blinked hard. My voice turned gruff.
I'm going to take care of you, okay?
She smiled gently. Her hand, rough and calloused from work, touched my cheek.
Okay, baby. I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap.
There's leftover pizza in the fridge if you're hungry. Just make sure you save some for Chet. He'll be hungry when he gets back. Except I couldn't eat pizza. Too hard to calibrate with my insulin since the carb release lasted hours. Something Mom already knew. She retreated to her bedroom, their bedroom now, and closed the door. My heart clenched. She was so beat down, she didn't believe a way out was possible, even when she heard it. I sat for a few minutes in the quiet, but for the TV game show. I had to go to school and to work and eventually this meeting, leaving Mom alone with Chet. I contemplated changing the locks on our door, but it would only enrage him when he got back. And Mom would let him in anyway.
Fuck.
I ran my hands through my hair. That goddamn helplessness swooping back in to smother the shred of excitement I'd had.
I need Violet.
I dragged myself to work at the arcade, handing out cheap prizes in exchange for skee-ball tickets and freeing tokens that had been jammed in their slots. A drunk asshole kicked the Mortal Kombat console when he got his ass beat.
But I have a meeting with a record exec, I murmured.
The words were drowned out in a sea of noise and explosions. It didn't sound or feel real, and it wouldn't until Violet heard it. Then maybe I could believe it too.
Chapter 19. Violet. A little after 9 o'clock, I heard the familiar creak of the trellis outside my bedroom window. Butterflies took flight in my stomach. I sat on my bed, wearing only a sheer tank top and short shorts, nerves and excitements racing through me in equal parts. Over the last few weeks, Millard had continued his streak of being a perfect gentleman, kissing and touching me without removing any clothing, to take things slow and make sure I was ready for every step we took together. But I'd never felt more sure of anything in my life. I'd never felt more sure of us. Tonight, I wanted to show him that trust, to show him my body, to feel our skin touch in 100 places. We don't have to have sex for me to show him that I'm his. The night was warm and my window already open. Miller crawled through and hopped down off my desk. "Hi, you," I said, my voice a little breathy. He froze when he saw me. His blue eyes were liquid and soft, drinking me in.
"God, you look so beautiful," he said, then covered his face with one hand.
His shoulders began to shake. I hurried to him. "Miller? Hey." Wordlessly, he folded me into his embrace and pressed his face to my neck. Hot tears were absorbed in my skin as I held him tightly and stroked his hair. After a while, he pulled back and turned away, wiping his cheeks in the crook of his arm.
"Sorry."
"Don't be sorry," I said softly, my heart bracing itself. "What happened?"
"A record exec wants to meet with me," he said gruffly. "In Los Angeles."
I stared, my jaw falling open. My hands flew to my chest. "Oh my God. Oh my God, Miller, are you serious?"
"Goldline Records contacted Evelyn through her vlog."
He shook his head, disbelieving.
"They're even going to pay for the flight and hotel."
God, my heart was breaking for him, even as it soared with joy. He suddenly looked like a little boy, wanting the new life that has been offered to him, but not yet letting himself believe it was his. "Of course they will," I said, my throat thick. "I knew this would happen for you. I knew it."
"I didn't. I still don't. It doesn't feel real."
I took his face in my hands, His beautiful eyes were a salty storm of hope and fear, searching mine for the truth. "It's real," I said. "This is your first step, your big break." I could see him struggle.
"This doesn't happen to guys like me, Vi. I'm going to screw it up, or they'll take one look at me and realize they've made a mistake."
"They won't," I said, as a sharp prick of anger at his father bit me, for leaving his beautiful son and condemning him to a lifetime of uncertainty. "This doesn't happen to just anyone, but you have a gift, Miller. They're going to hear you and they're going to love you, just like everyone else, just like I do." Miller was quiet for a few seconds and sniffed a laugh.
"God, I'm a fucking mess."
He looked up at me, a faint smile touching his lips for the first time.
"Come here,"
he said, as he pulled me in close again and held me tight.
"I knew if I told you, it wouldn't seem so fucking crazy."
"It is crazy," I said, laughter bursting out of me. "It's out of this world level crazy. But I'm so happy for you. And you can be happy too, okay?" He heaved a steadying breath.
"I guess. It's just a lot. I'm freaking exhausted."
"You look it," I said, brushing the hair out of his eyes. "You want to sleep with me?" Miller smirked.
"That's a loaded question."
I grinned and tugged him to the bed with both hands. "I meant to just sleep, although I'm flexible on that point." He laughed tiredly as he kicked off his boots. We lay down face to face, our hands entwined, our gazes roaming and tracing and memorizing. "Who else knows about this?" I asked. "Did you tell your mom?" He nodded.
"She didn't believe it either. Not really."
His eyes darkened.
"Chet, that asshole, is hurting her."
"Oh, shit," I breathed. "Oh, no. God, what can we do?"
"He's gone until tomorrow, but I'm going to have to stay home most nights from now on."
"To protect her," he nodded. "God, Miller, please be careful."
"I will. If he tries anything, I'll have his ass arrested since Mom won't. But I'll be in LA for 2 days and she'll be alone."
"You'll come back with a record contract and kick his ass out for good."
"That's the plan, impossible as it seems."
Miller's eyes widened.
"Oh shit, June 4th is your birthday."
"Last I checked," I said, grinning. "And it's prom too, as a matter of fact. Which reminds me, I know I promised River, but that doesn't mean we can't all go in a group." Miller was shaking his head against the pillow.
"That's the weekend of that meeting. Damn, I don't want to miss your birthday."
"Neither do I, for multiple reasons," I said, with what I hoped was a seductive smile. "But you have an excuse. The best excuse. Overkill, really. Most guys would have come up with something less outlandish than a record deal with Goldline Records."
"I don't have a deal. Not yet. I don't know what's going to come of this, if anything, but I'm going to take care of Mom. And you."
"You don't need to..." He silenced me with a soft kiss and then rested his head heavily on the pillow.
"I will. Don't argue with me, Vi."
He mumbled with a smile, his eyes falling shut.
"Too tired."
"Sleep, then." I stroked his cheek, tracing the outline of his full lips, down to his chin and along his jaw. "Beautiful. My beautiful, kind, brave Miller." I kissed him softly, and my eyes started to drift shut too, while a small twinge of unease hatched in my stomach, a little seed of uncertainty. Everything I'd said to Miller about his future was true. This was his big break. I could feel it. But that meant our paths were about to diverge drastically, and I wondered where they would take us. Someone had set off a car alarm, or maybe I changed my phone's alarm from birdsong to a high, tiny beep. Then, through the haze of sleep, I recognized the sound. I bolted up to sitting, brushing the hair out of my eyes. Miller's watch was flashing the number 195 in red. "Miller," I said, jostling him. "Wake up." He came awake slowly, sluggishly,
and gripped his forehead with a grimace of pain as he sat up.
What? Oh, shit.
I shot out of bed and rummaged in his backpack. You're high. It's dawn phenomena, right? I read about this. Did you eat a bunch of carbs last night?
Pasta,
he said, and started to climb out of bed.
I need water.
Gently, I pushed him back. I got it. I hurried to bring him a glass of water from the bathroom sink. He downed it in three long gulps while I rushed to his med kit to find the fast-acting insulin. I murmured to myself as I tore open the bag, recalling what I'd studied since Miller's first hospitalization 4 years ago. 1 unit of insulin per every 15 milligrams over 150. I did the math in my head. 3 units. I clicked his injection pen to distribute 3 units of insulin and climbed back on the bed. Miller lay heavily against the bed frame, watching me as I pushed up his sleeve to expose his arm.
You're amazing, Vi.
I'm scared shitless. For months, Miller and I had been estranged, and I hadn't been around for his highs or lows. I'd forgotten how scary they could be. And the night he nearly died came racing back, sitting at the forefront of my thoughts. I injected the insulin, then sat with his wrist in my grasp, watching the numbers come down. What's your fasting level?
Between 80 and 120,
he said, eyes closed, head tilted up and resting against the headboard. I bit my lip. They're coming down. He reached 110 and leveled off, and I slumped against the bedframe too.
Sorry, Vi, he said after a minute. I hate doing that to you.
You're not doing anything to me.
Scaring you.
I smiled. How scared I am is directly proportionate to how much I care about you. I kissed his shoulder and left my lips against his skin. Has it been hard?
It's always been hard, but no worse than usual.
He opened his eyes and looked to me.
I miss that. You. Mom's got her own stuff to deal with, and needles made Amber queasy. I missed being around someone who gave a shit.
Tears threatened, but I willed them back. I give a shit. I never stopped, even when we weren't speaking much or at all. I never stopped caring.
I know,
he said, his gaze roaming my face, tracing me with his eyes.
Neither did I. I just had a fucking horrible way of showing it.
He pulled me in to kiss him. But before our lips touched, our eyes met. In that instant, the length of a heartbeat, a lifetime passed between us, an understanding that he and I were inevitable, fated. The boy with diabetes and the girl who was going to be a doctor, the girl with the romantic heart, and the boy who wrote love songs. Our lips came together in a deep kiss that was both heated but gentle, dire but reverent. The sweetness of the juice on our tongues mingled with Miller's own sweetness. For all of his prickly, grouchy, and mistrusting ways, he had the purest soul I'd ever known, and his innate goodness was the sexiest thing about him. Well, that and his face, his body, his voice, his talent. My giggle broke our kiss.
Something funny?
Miller said, his hands slipping around my waist. No, actually, I said, my pulse thumping as I climbed onto his lap, straddling him. I'm very serious about how I feel about you. Miller's smile faded as he took in my heavy breasts, barely covered by a thin scrap of cotton and held up by 2 spaghetti straps.
Jesus, Vi.
Touch me, Miller. I leaned over, affording him a full view. Beneath me, his erection was hard and heavy in his jeans. I rocked my hips over him as his hands came up under the shirt. Both hands kneaded my breast, thumbs circling the nipples.
Can I?
He asked, his voice gruff. Take it off, I said, my pulse thundering in my ears in anticipation, to have Miller's eyes on my naked flesh for the first time. His hands slid up the sides of my torso, feeling the curves of my waist, and then up, hooking on the tank top as they went. He peeled it off and tossed it away.
Holy fuck,
he whispered, his glance rising to meet mine.
You are so beautiful.
Before I could reply, he moved in, and I gasped when his mouth took one nipple, sending licks of fire down my spine between my legs. One touch, and then he retreated.
Shit, wait. Your parents?
I put a lock on my door after the last time they busted in.
You're a goddamn genius,
Miller muttered, and then his mouth descended again. His tongue was soft and hot and wet, circling my nipple while his thumb did the same to the other breast. He sucked and pulled, his teeth grazed as I ground against him, breathless at the electric currents that surged through me. I arched my back, pressing myself deeper into his touch. His hands slid to my hips, grinding me on him while his mouth worked over me. Need to feel you, I managed. My hands found the hem of his t-shirt. I lifted it up and off of him, breaking our contact for a moment. Then I wrapped my arms around his neck and pulled him in close, warm skin against warm skin, chest to chest, heart to heart. So perfect. Miller kissed my throat, my chin, and then my mouth. My hands roamed his chest and down to his abdomen. I broke away only because I needed to look at him too, naked for me for the first time. His body was beautiful, smooth over hard muscle. The CGM embedded in his lower right abdomen was beautiful too. It was keeping him alive. The realness of the moment, both of us naked from the waist up and me on his lap, struck me. My every sense suddenly tuned up and awake. Every touch, every breath, every moment shone in bright clarity, stealing my air and lighting up my nerves. My hands trembled as I unbuttoned his jeans, wanting more but unsure of where more would take us. Miller caught my hand in his.
You okay?
Yes, sure. Just excited. Or nervous, maybe. I swallowed hard. I want this. I want you. His eyes searched mine intently.
I want you too, Vi. But I want you the right way.
I nodded, our gaze never breaking, as he rolled me onto my back and settled himself over me. He kissed me long and slow, our skin melding together, his hands cradling my face as if I were precious. Everything soft and warm between us but the stiff denim of his jeans. I winced as the button jabbed me. He slipped out of the jeans, leaving him in his boxers.
Just this,
he whispered, moving over me again, the length of his body aligned with mine.
Okay?
I nodded again, and warmth flooded me at his consideration, how attuned he was to us, creating harmony between our desire and what I was ready for. I slipped my arms around him, sealing him to me. His erection pressed between my legs, a few scraps of cloth between us, and that felt perfect. Right. Miller kissed me long and slow, concentrating on my face, my mouth, his hands in my hair, while our lower bodies began to move, seeking more connection. I spread my legs wider, letting him settle deeper against me. His hips lifted and came down in soft, slow grinds. A little moan escaped me at the sensations building where his hardness nestled my softness. My hips lifted in answer, again and again.
You okay?
He asked, his breath hot against my lips. Yes, it's perfect. So perfect. Pleasant, needy tension hummed along our bodies, growing more and more potent with each rise and fall. My panties were damp. A spot of wetness darkened his underwear. Our kiss broke in breathy gasps for air. We moved as if he were inside me. Harder and faster, my hand slid down the curve of his lower back, pressing him into me. A heavy ache of pleasure was building in me, a peak I sought to climb higher and higher. Miller propped himself on his elbows, his hips driving against mine, the clothing between us a maddening obstacle and the perfect friction.
Vi,
he breathed. I'm going to... I clutched at him, every part of me tensed and tight, ready to break open.
Come,
Miller managed, his voice tight, his hips relentless.
Come, Vi.
I let out a little cry, then I smothered in his neck, biting his warm, salty skin, as my first real orgasm swept along every nerve ending, stronger and more powerful than anything I'd imagined, or that I produced on my own. The shockwave rushed through me, leaving me weak and boneless. Miller's hips ground a few more times, coaxing the last of my orgasm while driving toward his own. With a strangled grunt, he abruptly tore off me and grabbed for a tissue from the box on my nightstand. He sat at the edge of the bed, and I watched the muscles in his back slide and move under his skin as his release shuddered through him. A small sound erupted from his chest, and my only wish was that he'd still be on top of me so that I could feel, see, and hear him come. Another time, I thought, as pure contentment washed over me, and it will be perfect. Miller cleaned himself up and then stretched out beside me again with a tired laugh.
Good?
Good. I had an out-of-body experience.
I think that's what's supposed to happen.
It was, I said, smiling softly and brushing a lock of hair off his brow. It was exactly what was supposed to happen. And he knew it.
I gotta go. You gotta go. We'll be late for school. I don't actually give a shit, but you have a stellar citizenship record to maintain.
I don't want to go. I curled up into the sheets. I'm having my first orgasm afterglow. I want to sleep for days with you. He grinned.
Me too. But I got to get home to eat and take my insulin, or I'll have an entirely different kind of out-of-body experience.
Jesus, Miller, don't say that.
Sorry, bad joke. I've been hanging out with Ronan and Holden for too long.
He got up and drew his jeans on, then leaned over the bed to kiss me again, slow and deep.
You're the best thing that's ever happened to me, Vi.
Then he left the same way he came in, through the window. I watched him go, then flopped back against my pillow. A laugh burst out of me that morphed into a full-body shiver. Miller's touch lingered over every part of me, especially the juncture between my legs, where I could still feel the low ebb of the wave that had crashed over me. But it was my heart that was singing the loudest. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. So said Miller Stratton in the same 24 hours that a record exec from a major label wanted to meet with him. Then he slipped out of my room like a prince in a fairy tale. I couldn't stop smiling until reality creeped cold fingers into my sleepy warmth. This princess was going to the ball with someone else, while her prince rode off into a Los Angeles sunset. And if all went as it should be, he wouldn't come back. At school that day, I made it to lunch break without seeing Shiloh. I wasn't feeling hungry, so I wandered the campus alone, my popularity stock clearly having taken a nosedive since hashtag homecoming fail. Caitlin and Julia only ever waved at me from afar these days, both looking cowardly and sheepish, as if the matter of being my friend or not was out of their hands. No doubt Evelyn's handiwork. Miller had texted saying he was cutting school to stay home with his mom in case Chet came back drunk and belligerent. I was on my own. I sent Shiloh a text. Where are you? The reply came a few minutes later as I followed the path down toward the gym. Home. Bibi isn't feeling well. My heart clenched. Shiloh's grandma was pushing 80 and mostly confined to a wheelchair. Is she okay? I think so. Going to stay home to make sure. A pause, then another text. I heard Miller's news, followed by the mind blown emoji. I'm so proud of him. I'd wandered down to the bleachers, perhaps drawn by my hormones after this morning. And OMG, we need some girl talk, stat. I was about to hit send on that text when the phone nearly fell out of my hand. Holden Parrish emerged from the makeout spot, and River Whitmore followed after. They were both dark, almost angry expressions, and looked as if they'd been fighting, but had called a reluctant truce. Holden smoothed the lapels of his coat and ran a hand through his must-silvery hair. River jerked the collar of his Letterman jacket into place and tucked in his shirt. They immediately started for separate directions, but their nervous, darting glances landed on me at the same time. Holden turned his steps into my direction, tipped an imaginary hat to me. Lady Violet, he said as he passed. He wore a tight smile on his lips that were red and chafed. He smelled of River's cologne. I stared, then swiveled my head to River. He stood stock still, staring at me, in a coiled, tensed fight-or-flight stance. Then his shoulders dropped, and he put his hands in his pockets as he strode over to me. "Hi," I said.
"Hey,"
he replied, his glance flying everywhere and then finally meeting mine.
"So listen, what you saw
is none of my business." He jerked back in shock, his eyes softened, and that same heartbreaking vulnerability I'd seen the other day was back. Then suspicious anger hardened his glance.
"You and I are going to prom together. Aren't you pissed or the least bit curious?"
His eyes widened as a horrifying thought occurred to him.
"Did you know already? He's friends with Miller."
"I had no idea," I said. "No one does. But if it's a secret, coming here is a terrible way of keeping it." The fight went out of him, and his shoulders slumped. There was a bench nearby, and River dropped onto it. His gaze looked for where Holden had gone.
"Tell me about it, but I can't fucking stop."
He rested his forearms on his thighs and hung his head.
"You won't tell anyone, will you? It'll fucking wreck me."
"I don't think that's true," I said, sitting beside him. "But I won't say a word."
"Not true,"
he scoffed. "It wouldn't wreck you here at school. We're in one of the most progressive corners of one of the most progressive states in the country."
"Forget here," River said. "Name one openly gay NFL player."
He seemed to realize what he'd said, and his face paled.
"I mean, I'm not gay. Fuck, I don't know what I am."
"Is this why you want me to go to the prom with you? To keep up appearances for your dad's sake?" He nodded miserably. "Do you think he'd be upset if he knew?" After spending months with Nancy Whitmore, I couldn't imagine she'd be anything but completely supportive of her son, or marry someone who wouldn't be. Hell, she probably knew before River did.
"I don't know," River said. "But I do know that the answer to my NFL trivia challenge is zero. There are zero pro football players who are out. One guy got drafted and lasted all of one season. And for my dad, anything that might keep me from going all the way to the Super Bowl is a massive negative."
I didn't have any good advice for River, so I just sat with him, let him lean his huge frame against me for a few moments of quiet. Finally, he spoke in a low tone.
"I'll understand if you don't want to go to prom with me."
"Forget me for a second. Do you want to go with him?"
"Not going to happen."
"Is he okay with that? Are you?" River scowled.
"He's an asshole, and I'm a brokeback mountain cliche because I can't stay away. But shit, Vi, you should go with your boyfriend. He says you and Miller are official. Why stick with me?"
"Because I want to keep my word. And as it turns out, Miller can't make it anyway. We talked it out. Even if he could go, I'm sticking with you, if you want me."
"I do,"
he said, his smile faint and sad.
"You're probably my best friend, and definitely the only person I trust to not spread my shit all over the school."
"I never would, and I am your friend, River. Always." His grateful smile nearly brought tears to my eyes.
"I'll take you to dinner first, unlike last time."
"Last time," I mused. "Was he the reason you didn't make it?" River nodded.
"That fucker is my kryptonite, but I promise that won't happen again."
"I trust you, but River, if things change..."
"They won't."
"But if they do, I'll understand. Just give me a heads up before our dance comes up." I laughed. "Scratch that. Your dance, not ours. I doubt I'll be anywhere near the prom court this time around."
"Also my fault."
"It's not important, but now that we've established our BFF status, can I suggest something? Talk to your mom and dad before you head off to college, move away from Santa Cruz, and begin a life you don't want." He shook his head.
"The pressure. It's the weight of an ocean. Dad's pinned all his own broken hopes on me. It'd kill him if I walked away. And with mom being sick, I can't do that to him."
He stood up before I could argue and offered me his hand to pull me off the bench.
"Come on, BFF. Confession is over."
We walked in companionable silence as the bell rang at the end of lunch. When we reached my locker, I gave him a hug.
"Thank you,"
he said in my ear.
I mean it.
Anytime. Oh, and River? It's blue.
What's that?
The color of my prom dress is blue. For my corsage? I teased, arching a brow at him. In case you need the reminder.
I won't, he said heavily. My dad won't let me.
Chapter 20. Miller. June 3rd arrived. My flight to Los Angeles wasn't until that evening. Violet had a late doctor's appointment for a final checkup after her concussion, so Evelyn was driving me to the airport to give me last-minute advice. In LA, a car would take me to the Fairmont Miramar Hotel. The next morning, I'd meet with Jack Villegas, senior vice president at Gold Line Records. Holy shit, I thought for the millionth time that day as I packed. I didn't have much. I put my best dark jeans in a duffel along with my Sonic Youth t-shirt, which was my least faded. Evelyn had advised me to wear the leather necklace with the bone horn she'd found for me to complement my braided leather bracelets. And your beanie, she'd said. For God's sake, wear your beanie. The clothing felt shabby and too casual, but I had nothing else. Evelyn said it was the real me. But what if the real me isn't good enough? I cursed myself for being this wound up and invested, but I couldn't help it. Hope was sometimes as potent as fear and just as debilitating. I went to the fridge with my portable med storage bag and took a quick inventory of the snacks I needed to bring, estimated what I'd eat on the trip, and calculated how much insulin to take. I felt Chet's eyes on me as I removed the refrigerated capsules and packed them in the travel bag. Since hearing the news about my interview, he'd been in a foul mood, like a simmering pot ready to boil over.
Hey, hotshot, Chet called from the couch, then muttered into a beer can. Yeah, thinks he's fucking hot stuff now. Little bitch is what he is.
My pulse quickened. It was only 10 in the morning. Everyone, with the possible exception of Ronan, still had school until 3. Mom had called in sick from work, and I'd stayed home with her to make sure she was okay. I'd been staying home from school as often as I could, since the day I found the bruises on her arm, but she'd told me not to. I was truant, for one thing, but instead of protecting her from Chet, she said me being home all the time made things worse, put Chet more on edge. He's never touched me again after that, she'd sworn, and so I went to school. But that morning, I was too jacked up for school and even more reluctant to leave Mom. I went into her room to check on her.
He's ready to blow.
I know, she said, but you have to go, please. You'll only make it worse.
Me? Kick him out, Mom, I hissed. Call the cops.
She sat against her pillows, tired and worn. It'll mess up your day. You might miss your flight, and that can't happen. Go, honey. I'll be fine. I gritted my teeth and bent to kiss her forehead.
Call me if you need me. Promise.
I will. I dragged myself out of her room and went to mine to get my stuff. Vi, Shiloh, and the guys were gathering for what Holden called a Remember Us When You're Famous party. I figured I'd go to the beach and wander, try to calm myself down. I slung my duffel over my arm and carried my guitar case out. Then I stopped short. Chet blocked the hallway. His jowls were pasty under days' worth of stubble, and he stank of stale beer and smoke.
You think your little trip is going to change anything? He said, eyeing me up and down. They're going to see right through you.
a dirty punk-ass little bitch, singing your stupid songs.
My pulse crashed in my ears and my throat went dry.
Back off, asshole.
Chet looked ready to fight, but the bedroom door opened and Mom came out.
What's happening out here?
Nothing, he said,
and let me go, giving my shoulder a hard knock as I passed, then followed me into the living room.
Nothing's happening, he said louder
as I went to the shabby coat stand near the door to grab my jacket.
You hear me? You're a fucking carny, pretending to be bigger than you are, but you ain't shit.
I hunched my shoulders against his words, but they sank in anyway.
Thanks for the pep talk, I muttered, and reached for the door.
Behind me, Mom gave a cry, and then my guitar case was torn out of my hand. I spun around to see Chet hurl it at the wall behind the couch. It struck hard enough to leave a scuff mark and tumbled onto the cushions.
What are you?
My words and air cut off as Chet gripped me around the throat and shoved me against the door. He moved in close, seething, spittle flecking my lips as he spoke.
For too long, you've been a smart-ass hotshot walking around here. I keep telling your mom to kick your ass to the curb. You're 18 now. I think it's time.
Black starbursts were flaring in my vision. Mom was shouting at him to let me go, tugging his arm and begging. I got my hands around his wrist and yanked him off me.
Fuck you,
I cried hoarsely, then hurried to my guitar. I felt Chet behind me. Then his hand gripped my shirt between my shoulder blades. He yanked me back, throwing me off balance, and then shoved me forward. I stumbled and banged my shin on the coffee table, then crashed head first onto the couch. The right side of my face scraped against the edge of my guitar case. Pain flared like a burn.
Stop it, Mom cried. Leave him be.
I scrambled to my feet and gripped my guitar case. On instinct only, I swung it backward without looking and heard it connect with Chet's gut. He made an oof sound and staggered back. I raced for the door, grabbing my mom's arm on the way, dragging her with me. She tore out of my grasp.
Miller, no.
I stopped, stared. Sucking in air, my pulse crashing in my ears.
Mom, let's go. You can't stay here.
From behind her, Chet was breathing heavily, a triumphant smile splitting his thick lips.
She doesn't want to leave with you. She knows better than that.
I jabbed a finger in the air at him.
Go to hell, asshole. I'm calling the police.
He chuckled.
And say what? You think she's going to press charges? You going to press charges, Lynn?
I stared at her, waiting for her answer. She cast her eyes to the ground, and I felt something in me break off and fall away.
That's right, Chet said. It ain't your house. It's hers. This is her home. But you're a grown man, son. I'd say it's about time you got the hell out. Mom?
She lifted her eyes slowly, heavy with pain, and so tired. She kissed me on the cheek that burned.
Just go, she whispered. Get to L.A. Be amazing.
I stared, first at her, then Chet, smiling lazily, leaning against the kitchen counter as if it were his, because now it was. I looked back to my mom, the words to tell her that her safety was more important, her happiness. but she'd already turned and headed back down the hallway to her room in shuffling steps. Chet's beady eyes met mine.
"You heard your mother. Go."
So I went. I opened the door with trembling hands and stepped outside on shaking legs. It closed behind me, and I heard the lock click. In a half daze, falling off an adrenaline high, I made my way to the shack like a zombie. My face was on fire where it scraped against my case, and my throat felt as if I'd swallowed a handful of rocks. I stepped into the old, rickety room. Holden had nailed a small mirror on the back wall, or maybe it was Shiloh. She'd been hanging out here more, adding artistic touches here and there, making the place feel homey. The shack was more of a home than my own. I took a good look at myself in the mirror to examine my wounds. Fingerprints were darkening on my